Let us open our Bibles to read today's passage, which you can find on page 1145 in your Bibles. We're going to read chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thanks be to God for this reading today. Let us bow our heads and pray before we begin today's teaching time. Lord, we pray that you would quiet our hearts, that we could enter into your presence as you speak to us today. Bless this time. In your name, amen. Wisdom. It's a characteristic we usually ascribe to gray-haired, elderly, experience-rich individuals. To be wise is to understand something that the typical person cannot. To be wise, sometimes, is to speak with persuasive words, to provoke deep thought. There's any number of ways that we usually think of wisdom. And Paul addresses our perceptions of wisdom as well. He says, we Christians speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. You see, Paul was living in an age when wisdom meant slick talk, a firm grasp on language, the ability to argue persuasively in the town forum. And this kind of wisdom was magnetic. Successful people were wise. Intelligent-sounding people were wise. Did anybody know what the wise were actually talking about? What they were actually saying? Of course not. But they sounded really good while doing it. It was as if you spoke loud enough, and with enough conviction, you must be speaking wisdom. But Paul didn't speak like that. He actually had a message he was trying to communicate. He didn't use flowery language or speak with grand gestures or command the attention of the successful. He simply spoke the truth. And what was this truth? What was the wisdom Paul was trying to speak? Earlier in chapter 1, verses 22, Paul says, Jews demand miraculous signs, and Gentiles look for worldly wisdom. but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. Christ crucified, then, is wisdom, the wisdom of God. And this type of wisdom was utter foolishness to those who heard. They must have thought, what kind of God dies a shameful death? What kind of God is crucified like a criminal? And then you say he rose again. Impossible. You're crazy. To the world, it was easy to discredit Paul's message because the world believed that gods don't die. And gods especially don't die very human, painful, shameful deaths in utter obscurity. And here's where Paul begins to unravel what godly wisdom is. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. God's wisdom is secret, hidden. Weird words to use about wisdom if God wants us to know and understand it, right? Well, wisdom isn't secret and hidden anymore. And Paul tells us what this secret is in another letter he writes in Colossians. The message that has been kept hidden for generations, but is now disclosed to the saints who are making known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's wisdom, that is Christ and his death and resurrection, is the secret and hidden wisdom that generations had awaited. No one knew God's plan for salvation until Jesus stepped into history and acted out redemption. And now we know that wisdom. We understand the mystery of redemption because Christ has revealed it to us. But there still seems to be a difference in understanding wisdom. For Paul says, "None of the rulers of this age understood it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory." The world doesn't understand the wisdom of God. They didn't understand it to the extent that they crucified the one person who could bring about all their wildest hopes and dreams. Why didn't they understand wisdom? Is there some kind of difference between those who can understand and those who can't understand wisdom? Paul tells us there is. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. For God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit makes us able to discern wisdom. God has revealed his mysteries and wisdom through the Spirit. So is the Spirit a communicator between us and God? Is it some vague, ephemeral entity we don't fully understand? For me, the Spirit has always been the person of the Trinity I know the least about. And the churches I've been a part of have done a good job talking about God the Father and God the Son, but the Holy Spirit, at least to me, still seems like a fringe person. Not entirely understood, and I sometimes grapple with what his role actually is. And as if Paul senses that the Spirit is a hard concept to grasp, he explains what the role of the Spirit is. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? It is the same with God. No one can understand God except the Spirit of God. As Karl Barth, a theologian, summarizes, God is known by God alone. So then, like I am the only one who fully understands myself, the Spirit is the only one who can fully understand God, because the Spirit is God. In essence, like knows like. Now, if you can bear a slight tangent, I think I have an illustration that hopefully will illustrate this point. Back when I was still a nursing major, I had to take a chemistry class. And while I remember very, very little of the class, I do remember one story the chemistry professor told us. And the principle was, like dissolves like. And you see, my chemistry professor set up a cheeky experiment on his wife. They had a really pesky coffee ring stain on top of their countertop. And no matter how hard his wife tried to clean this coffee stain out of the countertop, it would not come out. No matter what kind of detergent he used or soap or how hard she scrubbed, she couldn't get it out. And so he said, "All right, if I can get this coffee stain out, you have to take me to a really nice dinner." And she says, "I've tried for weeks to get this out. There is no way you're going to get it out." "Sure, you can take me out to a nice dinner." And so he's standing there and he's holding his coffee cup and he saunters over to the countertop and he pours the liquid coffee out onto the countertop. And she says, "What are you doing? I've spent weeks trying to get this coffee out. You cannot put more coffee on." And she's all up and very excited and nervous. And he just takes a washcloth and wipes up the coffee, and just like that, the coffee ring is gone, as if by magic. But that's the principle. Like dissolves like. Something in the coffee bonded with the coffee stain to take it out. The same is the principle with God. The Spirit knows God more than anything else ever will. And so when we know anything about God, it is because the Spirit has somehow communicated that truth about God to us. In verse 12, Paul says, "We have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." The Spirit, then, is a deciding factor for understanding wisdom. Those who do not have the Spirit, those who have rejected God and rejected faith, can't grasp God's wisdom, God's plan for redemption. But those who have the Spirit, we as Christians, have the great privilege of discerning and understanding God's good news, God's wisdom, and God's indescribable gift of grace in Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. So in juxtaposing the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God, Paul has redefined wisdom not as a philosophical or rhetorical term, but as a historical and salvation-filled word. Wisdom is Jesus coming to earth, and wisdom is Christ crucified. Wisdom is the historical reality of Jesus coming to us with the purpose of saving us. So Paul's goal in this chapter is to define wisdom and to explain how we can know wisdom through the Spirit. But his purpose is to call us as Christians back to our fundamental identity as those who have received the Spirit, and Paul calls us to act accordingly. As those who have the Spirit, Paul says we have the responsibility to rise above the divisions and issues categorical of the world. In the previous chapter, Paul talks about divisions in the church, disagreements and lack of unity. Later, Paul is going to speak about how the Corinthian church gave in to temptations. Let the magnetic pole of sexual immorality and idolatry take over. When we lack true wisdom, we can very easily lose a clear vision of ministry, and we are easily pulled into destructive patterns. So Paul calls us back to true wisdom, interpreting life in the light of the cross. He says, "Live a life worthy of the gift of the Spirit." We can no longer be pulled in by the rhetoric of the world or sucked into the cultural dialogue that leads to destruction. We must strive for unity, and we must strive to know God. And with the Spirit's help, we will understand God's wisdom. We will understand that Christ's death and resurrection radically changes how we are called to live as God's Spirit people. Amen.